I'm Brian Russo, and welcome back to Coastal Connection. Coming up later in the show, we'll introduce you to the cast of Ping Pong Summer, the coming-of-age indie film being shot right here in Ocean City that has some big star power and some young local talent. But first, we continue our coverage of the upcoming municipal election here in Ocean City. Over the past few weeks, we've introduced you to many of the candidates vying for a seat on the city council. But as the filing deadline looms closer, we pause from our candidate profiles to talk about a new sort of wild card that has been injected into the local political scene this year. The grassroots organization, the Citizens for Ocean City, is expected to play some sort of a major role in rallying the voting base in Ocean City one way or another. And while some candidates have quickly cozied up to the support they're getting from this citizens group, such as Councilwoman Mary Knight, who told me last week that the group is, quote, one of the best things that ever happened in Ocean City politics, other people, like Councilman Brent Ashley, have publicly cried foul and criticized the group for, quote, playing favorites and playing unfairly. So joining me to talk about all of this and the organization is their official spokesperson. This is Joe Groves. He joins me here at the Park Recording Studio in Ocean City. Joe, nice to see you again, and thanks for joining me here on Coastal Connection.
Well, thank you for having me, Brian. It's great to be here.
You know, I think you and I have talked about it in the past. You know, 10 months ago, a year ago, nobody in this town really knew who you were. And now you've been kind of a figure that has become a very public persona, kind of the face and the voice of this Citizens for Ocean City group. How did you go from being, you know, an unknown in this town to, you know, up in, you know, a couple weeks ago, being called out by one of the council members and publicly criticized in an open meeting in city council? Talk about that process for you.
Well, quite honestly, I mean, I was a very private citizen. I always paid attention to politics, but just stayed quiet. And 11 months ago, actually, or 12 months ago, when they fired, it really did turn when they fired Dennis Dare.
So, you know, as this group started, and certainly everybody points to that moment where when Dennis Dare was forced to resign or fired, depending on whom you speak with in town, it seemed to awake kind of, I think, as you have called it before, the, quote, sleeping giant of the voting base in Ocean City. You know, it's been well documented that the last three elections have had, you know, pretty much record low turnouts. Tell me how much of an impact you think that your group is going to have on this year's election.
I honestly believe we're going to have a huge impact. I mean, we have worked for the last 10 months trying to educate people, to talk about getting the vote out, getting people out to vote. We worked hard to try to get the election changed to the national election date, which was the right thing to do. And of course, in doing that, we're accused, or I'm accused, of a conspiracy just to get Dennis Dare to run. It had nothing to do with Dennis. It's about getting the vote out. The last election 2 years ago, 9.5 or 9.8% of the people in this town voted. And you know, that, and that's wrong. We have to wake up and realize that that council works for us. And the people of this town are not happy. They're not happy. And sometimes I worry because everybody I talk to is saying the same thing I'm saying. But I honestly believe 80% of the people in this town feel the way we do. They're tired. They're tired of politics. I hate to say it, it's politics as usual, where, you know, you get a majority and they just feel they can do what they want, because we heard the comments. We have the power. The people of this country and the people in this town have the power, and we have the right to decide who should sit up there. And I think the people are going to speak loud and clear this November.
As the election gets closer, you guys haven't come forward and endorsed anybody. Is that on the horizon?
Let me clearly say first, our main objective has been to get people out to vote. Yes, is there a base that's very upset? And when you come to one of our meetings or rallies, are 80% of the people or 90% of the people probably thinking one way? Yeah. In the horizon, will we probably back candidates? I would say there's a strong possibility that that's going to occur, and probably soon.
The way your organization is set up is it gives you the opportunity, if you decide to become political. And you've been accused of being essentially kind of a small grassroots little super PAC of sorts. Your organization isn't necessarily throwing tons of money at candidates locally here. What do you say to those comments? And does your organization have intentions of becoming political for future elections as we move forward?
They're nervous about us. And we've set up as a nonprofit. We have set up for the ability to be a PAC, if that's what we so choose to do. I would tell you that that's probably on the horizon. I'll be honest with you. But they all worry about where the money's coming from. That's what I've been accused of, collecting money and who's giving me money. And I'll be upfront with you. 90% of the money that comes into this organization is out of my pocket.
What's been your reaction to the personal attacks? I'm pointing to several weeks ago when you were called up in an official city meeting. You were called up and basically, you know, one of the council members, Brent Ashley, called you out personally and said that the comments being made on social media on the Citizens page was disrespectful to Councilman Joe Hall. And it seemed that a political conversation became very personal. What was your reaction to that?
It did become personal, but you know, let me explain that whole situation. You know, we have a public Facebook page where people are allowed to comment. We don't censor it. Obviously, if there's profanity on there, we censor that. But it was over a picture of someone posting on Joe Hall as the Mad Hatter. Joe Hall actually took that picture and posted it on his own Facebook page and web page and said that he liked it. So as far as Mr. Ashley's concerned, he wanted me to censor it. He thought it should come down. My honest opinion about the personal attacks, if Mr. Ashley thinks that I should be censoring things, I have a few countries that I could recommend that he move to if he believes in censorship. And because I'm bipartisan, I'd be more than happy to pay for a one-way ticket for him to go. I mean, it's really about what's best for this town and the people in this town. And it's the whole grassroots. It's we're the ones in charge. We're the ones that should be driving what they do.
Do you think that the organization would have gotten and swelled to such large numbers as quickly if it didn't have a social media type forum such as Facebook for everyone to go and stay on message?
No, I don't think it would have. I think Facebook has played a major role. I mean, I've said that to the council before, and if you really look at Facebook and you look at the Middle East, I mean, countries have literally been overthrown because of Facebook. It allows so many people in our town now to communicate with each other in an open forum, and it has really helped us a great deal.
Many people have talked about your personal intentions concerning politics in future years. Some folks thought that you might run in this election. Obviously, you're not going to. But what about future elections? Is Joe Groves eventually, at some point, going to be running for a political seat here in Ocean City?
I would say if I had to answer that today, no, absolutely. It's never been my intent to run for office. My intent has always been to, you know, to help this group get the word out of what's going on in Ocean City, and what's going on is wrong right now. It is the wrong direction.
We've been speaking with Joe Groves. He's the official spokesperson of the Citizens for Ocean City organization. Joe, thanks for joining me here on Coastal Connection.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We turn now to someone who isn't very happy with Joe Groves or the Citizens for Ocean City organization. The aforementioned public exchange of less than pleasantries between Joe Groves and Councilman Brent Ashley has been brewing for months if you talk to people who spend a lot of time at City Hall. But Councilman Ashley says he's not trying to pick fights or stir the pot. He says he'd like to sit down and have a civil conversation with his public opponents, like the council minority or the mayor, or even Groves. But he says his repeated offers for lunch dates have been ignored. Ashley says, more than anything, he wants a bit of clarification on what the Citizens of Ocean City group actually is.
Mr. Groves was on a record 2 weeks ago by saying he was a 501c4 organization. Yet, this past Monday night, he says, no, that wasn't correct. They're a 501c3 organization. A 501c3 organization is prohibited from participating in political activities. So which is it? Is he a 501c4 or 501c3? He says he's a 501c3, but it's been changed. But one of the audience participants said he had just checked that day and it hadn't been changed. Hmm. And if it was changed, why was it a 501c to begin with?
Are you saying that they're funneling money into political campaigns and that's illegal?
No, I'm not saying anything's illegal. I'm just saying, what is the group? If you say it's one thing and then it's something different, isn't that a little misleading to the public?
So what do you think the impacts of what this group's presence in the community is going to have on this election in November?
I encourage all citizen participation. And if this gets the people out to vote, I want everybody to come out and vote. I think everybody on the council wants everybody to come out and vote. It's going to be a clear choice this year, either sustainable government or more big spending. So we hope that people make the same choice as far as controlling government spending as they made 2 years ago.
a lot's been said about this, you know, the new direction of what, you know, the council majority is trying to do. And I hear a lot of that, what you just said, you know, sustainable government versus big spending. The other side says that they were actually the ones that cut millions, you know, I think $6 million off of the budget. So they say, where's the big spending? So I guess, you know, speak to that.
Well, yes, if you cut $6 million off the budget and say you cut 100 employees, as they say also, the big question to me is, why was the $6 million in the budget in the first place? Why was the extra 100 employees there? The town is functioning perfectly. We get many comments on the beaches, how clean they are, the streets, the police, or the courtesy of the police. So the town is functioning at 100% capacity, and everybody is happy. So why was that extra money and extra employees in the budget in the first place?
It seems that you're pointing back into history. A lot of people point to the real estate housing boom. It seems like what you're arguing and who you're pointing the finger at is perhaps people that weren't even on the council when decisions like this were being made.
I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. I'm just saying what the facts are. And the people and the citizens and the voters will have to make up their own decision.
So as this moves towards November, you know, and I mentioned earlier the very public back and forth between you and Joe Groves, you guys seem to take exception to some comments that were made on social media concerning Councilman Joe Hall. In this kind of political world where, you know, especially in election season, where sometimes the gloves come off and things get a little dirty, I guess I find it interesting when feelings get hurt, when it could be argued that both sides have the gloves off and are, you know, taking punches and throwing punches. And are you guys losing political talking points by bickering back and forth at each other?
I don't think we're bickering back and forth. I mean, Mr. Groves comes down there and he asks questions of the council members, which he's entitled to do. But is he asking them for himself, or is he asking them representing a group of people? We still don't know that. Okay, and if it is a group of people, how are they organized? I mean, the IRS is very strict in their interpretation of these different organizations. So which is it? We welcome discourse and opinions. But I think when you put a picture of Joe Hall on your website dressed up in a Mad Hatter's outfit, I think that's crossing the line in good taste.
Joe Groves says that he believes that the Citizens for Ocean City group will have enough influence in this election to help decide the election. Do you agree with that, or I guess what's your reaction to that statement?
Well, I say again, let the people look at the facts. Let the people look at the figures and make their own decision. If the people want to go back to the big spending days, that'll be their decision. If they want to have sustainable government, they can make that decision as well.
What do you think will happen with this group post this election?
Well, I don't know, Brian. I say citizens group, I think each person in the community is a citizens group within themselves. You don't need a group. If you need a leader, you should lead yourself. If you have something to say to the council or present a position, come down and say it. Mm-hmm. You don't need to have a big formal organization to present a position to the council. Come on down and tell us how you feel.
That was Ocean City Councilman Brent Ashley speaking about the Citizens for Ocean City. Steve Green is the publisher of the Maryland Coast Dispatch. It's a weekly newspaper that's been servicing the local community for decades. Green says he doesn't recall a grassroots political group of citizens ever forming that comes close to the size of this one. And he says there's some other unprecedented firsts that are catching his eye in this year's political race.
There have been almost like a gentleman's agreement amongst the council candidates that I can reflect on and remember to not really sling mud. Now, there's not to say that there haven't been point-blank comments made at candidate debates and forums, but, you know, I will say, you know, from interviews that we do in the past, they have not really been this pointed. Now, that is obviously not the case. I think the gloves are coming off, and they all came off when former city manager Dennis Dare jumped into the race. Right. You know, prior to him coming in, there were all these comments saying that when Dennis files, we're going to let everybody know exactly the reasons that he was terminated.
Yeah.
And that came out last week, and it seems to be that the common allegation is insubordination. And Dennis maintains that there was no such insubordination, that a lot of the decisions that the council majority were pushing, his belief was that they weren't researched well enough, that he wanted to provide more documentation.
Why didn't the council majority just come out in the first place and say, if you know, we believe Dennis Dare was insubordinate, so we're letting him go and we're in our power to do so, rather than letting him go, saying he's done a great job, but we're just going in a new direction? Do you think in hindsight they regret not bringing this out sooner?
Well, that's a great point, because last week we spoke with Joe Hall, who said that there was absolutely no regrets about anything over his last term. Today, I did an interview with Council President Jim Hall, who's been in office since 1987, and he clearly said that it was a regret. You know, he compared losing or the termination of Dennis Dare to the loss of a family member and a family business. And he says he accepted blame for the way it went down.
You know, it's that time of year in campaigning when, you know, the city streets and the you know, open pieces of property get filled up very quickly with campaign signs. Now, one of the signs that I saw, you know, the other day while driving in Ocean City was these no hauls, no way signs, which, you know, I'm being told were purchased and put up by the Fraternal Order of Police. What's your take on that? What's your reaction to the FOP getting in and picking up the first large clump of mud and throwing it?
Yeah, well, the FOP has historically been a special interest groups that has been involved in council elections, mayor and council elections. You know, their history dates back to when they were the rank and file officers were trying to get collective bargaining. So they would often each council election interview candidates and then issue endorsements. Now, this year, I will say again, I think it's a little unprecedented in that, you know, here we are, 5 weeks out, and they've been running ads now for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then this past week, of course, they came out with the no hauls, no way mantra. And, you know, of course, specifically targeting Joe Hall and Jim Hall, who are both, of course, remember, you know, very anti this the union movement of the general employees. You know, but I also think it's not just that. I think it's also a lot of this way that the council government has been managed.
Do you think that with the rise of the grassroots organization, the Citizens for Ocean City, that they are becoming a group that their endorsement or their support behind a candidate, similar to the FOPs historically, is going to matter?
It's pretty clear where they stand. You know, the Citizens for Ocean City group is anti-majority. You know, there's no question about it. I don't know if they want to acknowledge that, but it's clear. You know, and they're certainly entitled to that, you know, opinion. And they've, in fairness, they've been, I think, wrongly challenged in public council meetings as far as their nonprofit designation or whether or not they should be posting things, certain things on their Facebook page or whatever. But, you know, no, Citizens for Ocean City group, I think, is a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, they were obviously created as a result of the Dennis Dare removal. And, you know, I don't know what their numbers are now, their membership numbers, but I think that they have a lot of intelligent and reasoned people leading their charge. So I'm interested to see what kind of role they play over the next month. Either way, whether this election is going to be a cleanse, one way or another, we're going to find out where the registered voters of Ocean City stand.
That was Steve Green, the publisher and editor of the Maryland Coast Dispatch. We also heard from Ocean City Councilman Brent Ashley and Joe Groves, the spokesman of the Citizens for Ocean City. We'd like to hear your thoughts on the Citizens group and if you think they're going to play a role in the upcoming election. Shoot us an email to coastal@wamu.org. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back as Hollywood comes to the coast for a cinematic game of ping pong. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City.